Today, the Australian property horror show continues. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, the latest post covering finance and property news. Well, the latest data shows a deepening housing downturn, which has hit major capital city markets in Sydney and Melbourne hardest, and is driving a vendor retreat. Cue the Benny Hill music. In fact, today I'm going to look at the latest data and also share with you some insights from our surveys to the end of July. Average home prices across all major centres are off their past peaks, something which will be confirmed when the property analysts publish their results for July on Monday. On the latest available figures, Sydney averages are down about 5.2%, Melbourne down 5%, Brisbane down 0.7%, Adelaide down 0.5%, and even Perth now down 0.3% from peaks. And across the combined capitals, this comes in at a fall of 2.3%. Below those averages, which mask significant differences, some more expensive property in the major markets of Sydney and Melbourne are more than 10% off recent peaks and are continuing to fall. The numbers reveal the scale of the trouble, actually, when you look at the latest median home price data. On April the 10th, the combined capitals began to decline, falling from about $1.039 million to around $1.016 million as at July the 29th. That's according to Catality. In Sydney, people, though, are seeing triple-digit falls in wealth, which will have a negative impact on, yes, their wealth. Actually, losing even paper value on a property triggers a potential psychological crisis because a home represents financial survival, personal identity, and emotional security. When home prices drop, owners do not just experience a lower number on paper, they process it as a threat to their future stability and a negation of their hard work. This emotional toll is driven by specific cognitive biases and psychological phenomena. First, there is something called loss aversion. Psychologically, the pain of losing asset value is twice as powerful as the pleasure of gaining it. Research shows homeowners feel financial losses 2.5 times more acutely than equivalent gains. And next, there is the endowment effect. People naturally overvalue what they own because they inject their own identity and memories into the property. When the market assigns a lower value, it feels like a personal rejection. And third, there is an anchoring bias. Owners psychologically anchor to the highest historical price of their home or their initial purchase price. Any drop below this reference point is viewed as a severe deficit, even if the property still holds some negative equity. So, all up, whilst affordability may improve down the line for others, the loss of paper value really hurts. Interestingly, last week, NAB revealed that the demand for new loans has dropped 15% in 3 months, so the credit stats are also worth having a look at. And the RBA reported that housing credit remained unchanged at 0.6% across the month. The May reading was revised up by 0.1 percentage point, but looking beyond one decimal place, the changes were minimal. The prior month's result was revised up by one basis point to 0.55%, and it remained exactly the same in June. There was actually hardly any movements in the major credit segments, owner-occupiers and investors. Owner-occupied credit growth ticked from 0.44% across the month in May, which rounds to 0.4%, to 0.46% the month in June, which rounds to 0.5%. Investor credit growth was actually one basis point lower at 0.81% for the month. Zooming out, the year-ended pace illustrates the picture quite well, with investor credit powering ahead at a double-digit pace, while owner-occupied credit was up 6.1%, both, of course, higher than inflation. Here it's worth noting also that whilst some people are suggesting that maybe the inflation data would be sufficient to stop the RBA lifting again, perhaps over the next 2 to 3 months, despite strong employment. The RBA is probably sitting on the fence. Michelle Bullock earlier in the week said that she did not know what the board would decide next month, because any sign of further inflation would require consideration of a further rate hike. If it looks like inflation is not coming down, then I think the board has some difficult decisions to make in terms of raising interest rates. And of course, in my surveys, I look at the data and also our scenarios. In a later show, I will share some more detailed information on the mortgage stress analysis and also our scenarios. But at the moment, I still have one scenario where rates don't change at all, and another scenario where we get more rate hikes, and a third scenario where we get a couple of hikes towards the end of the year, all of which, of course, puts more pressure on households. Another little bit of interesting information is relating to the Bank of Mum and Dad, by the way. Again, in my surveys, I've seen the Bank of Mum and Dad fall out of favour. This article is highlighting some of the issues with the Bank of Mum and Dad. Of course, it has created a bit of a divergence between those with support from the Bank of Mum and Dad and those with not. Unfortunately, now the Bank of Mum and Dad, because they're seeing prices easing back, is less able and willing to lend, which may in turn have a little bit of an interesting feedback loop on future transactions, for particularly for first-time buyers. And by the way, we are seeing some of those Bank of Mum and Dad aided first-time buyers right up the front in terms of struggling with mortgage stress, because they haven't had necessarily the experience to manage their finances. And as I've often said, well, making a single payment may sound like a good idea at the time, but for many people, this is actually going to be part of a bigger nightmare now. Rising mortgage interest rates and federal budget changes to property taxes, including ending negative gearing for all but new builds, have led property analysts to forecast Sydney and Melbourne's median home prices will drop at least 5 and maybe 10% or more from their peak, though agents in some areas actually are already claiming they've already fallen further than that. Auction listings around the country have plunged nearly 20% compared to a year ago, as nervous sellers take their chances on the private market or park their plans to sell altogether until the market improves. Agents are now playing different games to try to get sales across the line, including steering vendors away from auctions and towards viewing by private appointments, not open homes. That said, it does appear that pretend buyers are popping up out of the woodwork during the negotiation phase, trying to instill urgency when there is none at all. I would say that the few prospective buyers out there are actually well aware of this tactic, and I'll be discussing this with Edwin in our property rant tomorrow. Pretend buyers and pretend offers are, of course, fraud. The ripple effects of the falling market go well beyond agents. Auctioneers, photographers and videographers, conveyancers and property stylists are all having to work harder for business. Some will go out of business, I think. The weekend auction clearance data for the 2nd of August was, well, abysmal, with a low 1,273 properties listed, down 10% week over week and 19.2% compared to the corresponding period last year. Its national clearance came in at 53.6%. That's according to Cotality's preliminary data. Lower prices have followed weaker clearance rates, which dropped below 55% nationally for the 10th week straight over the weekend. Melbourne outperformed Sydney, posting a preliminary clearance of 59.6% compared to Sydney's 49.7%. The true clearance that we calculate comparing listings to reported sold was 38.8% and 47.2% respectively. In Brisbane, the preliminary clearance rate was 42%. In Canberra, it was 43.9% and Adelaide 52.6%, according to Catality. And the true clearances were 30.2%, 34% and 32.6% respectively. Actually, auctioneer Tom Pannis noted on Facebook, 30 years, worst auction day ever. He says, after 30 days in the auction industry, I've lived through recessions, the GFC and COVID, but today feels different. 2 weeks in a row, zero registered bidders at auction, even after positive inflation news. It's a reminder that confidence, not just interest rates, is what drives property markets. When buyers disappear, that's a signal we can't ignore. An SQM Research founder, Louis Christopher, quoted in the AFR, said auction volumes were unusually low, even accounting for the traditional winter slowdown. That is typical of a downturn, he said. It's abnormal. We've been expecting a pickup in scheduled activity as we head into spring selling season, but there is a possibility now, more than a possibility, that there are more vendors who are looking to sell through other means outside auctions via private treaty. This is what can happen in downturns. Actually, Ray White, chief economist Nerida Cosby, said that while the market remained weak, the looming ban on self-managed super funds borrowing for residential property that kicks in August the 10th may have given the market a slight boost as those buyers race to lock in purchases, grasping at straws there, methinks. Actually, Leo Christopher expects overall sales volumes could fall as much as 20% to 30% as property investors pull back from the market in response to Labour's abolition of tax concessions for investing in established homes. Of course, more broadly, the truth is that the financial pressures on many households are also part of the issue here too. Westpac's second quarter data ex-consumer panel showed higher interest rates are increasingly influencing household behaviour, but not through a disorderly drawdown in savings. Spending fell 0.2% over the quarter. That's the first quarterly decline in a year. However, much of the weakness was concentrated in transport, where airfare refunds were a notable dampening factor. Excluding transport, spending rose 0.5% across the quarter, broadly in line with last quarter's read. They said the detail points to households becoming more selective with spending rather than making broad cuts, while savings balances continue to rise and mortgage buffers remain well above previous cycle lows. For the RBA, this suggests restrictive policy is gaining traction through a gradual moderation in demand rather than an abrupt deterioration in household finances. Which takes us quite nicely to the latest DFA survey results, which I'm going to share now. So this gives you the stress trend results to the end of July. And first, as always, what we're going to do is to look at the rental stress. And you can see there that it's 74.4% of those in the rental sector are actually struggling. It's come down a little, and that is because we had some low-paid wage rises starting 1 July. And of course, there was a bit of relief with lower petrol prices over the last month or so. That was enough to move the dial down just a little. Mortgage stress was still at 53% of those with a mortgage, just down slightly for the same reasons. Again, lower petrol prices and some increase in wages. But it's still very high, comparing it with February 2020 when it was 32.9%. And the RBA reported the debt-to-income ratio back in March was 177.7%. But of course, that is a bit misleading insofar that it covers all households, whether they're borrowing or not. Many households are borrowing at 6, 7, and 8 times their income. So turning to the July data, and I've highlighted here in yellow where the number's gone up from last month in percentage terms, and in the light blue where it's adjusted down. So in the ACT, mortgage stress fell a bit, but rental stress, investor stress, and overall financial stress was all up. In New South Wales, mortgage stress was higher, whereas rental stress was down a little, but investor stress and financial stress was up. In the NT, very small numbers, of course, here, so it moves around quite a lot. Everything eased. In Queensland, rental stress, investor stress, and financial stress rose, but mortgage stress fell a little. In South Australia, mortgage stress rose. The others slid back just slightly. In Tasmania, again on small volumes, there was a bit of an easing. And in Victoria, mortgage stress rose again, whereas rental stress, investor stress, and financial stress overall was down just a little. And in Western Australia, it eased across the board. So mortgage stress came in at 53%. That relates to 2.1 million households in mortgage stress out of the 10 million households. Rental stress at 74.4% reflects 2.3 million households struggling with rental payments. Investor stress at 17.8% was 527,000 stressed investors, and 50.3% translates into financial stress at just over 5 million households, just over half, struggling with cash flow pressures thanks to the long-winded issues with inflation and high mortgage rates. So we are, I think, going to see much more horror ahead relating to property. My expectation is that property prices will continue to grind lower over the next few months. There is still risk of a higher interest rate hike. That interest rate hike will probably be stemming from not international pressures, but the truth is that the inflation in Australia is still largely homegrown thanks to poor policy and other factors. And any further conflict in the Middle East, lifting petrol prices higher again, will of course put more pressure on inflation. And yes, of course, after the weekend, petrol prices will be higher thanks to the removal of the government excise support. So the bottom line is simply this: the property market continues to grind lower. All the indicators are for more significant falls ahead at the moment, and I don't see this changing for some time. So the horror show is definitely going to continue. I think more people will sit on the sidelines, but at the moment it is worth reflecting that property listings are still significantly higher, and the combination potentially of higher listings, lower demand, and even lower credit availability will all put more downward pressure on those home prices in the weeks and months ahead. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.